John chapter 6, verse 37. Pick up verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. And you remember last week I talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody wanted to know what good work they could do, what work they could do to do the works of God. And that work that God does is He works in men's hearts and souls to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they start talking about what all Moses did. Now, our Lord said, Moses didn't do anything. My Father did it all. My Father did it all. Y'all didn't do anything. All y'all did was murmur and murmur and murmur. And so I picked up here in verse 37, and today I want to talk about God's children taught of God. Look what it says there in verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Now, I know maps has kind of went out of style, but I used to carry an atlas with me everywhere I went. And you know, when you look at a map, you don't look for any literary value out of it. You know what you look for it for? For directions. To find how to get from point A to point B. And a lot of folks, if they're going to go a long way, they'll get their map out and take their pencil and go over where they're going. Try to remember all the things that's going on. But a map's written for directions. For directions. It's given for us to find the best, the quickest way to our destination. And that's what I want to do in my preaching. That's what I want to do in my preaching, to show you the way, to guide you to Christ by the simplest way. By the simplest way. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ talked, no matter what anybody said to him, he had a point in what he said. There was not one word that our Lord Jesus wasted in his life. Not one word did he say that did not need to be said. Not one. Now, I've made a multitude. The words that I've used has just been wasted words. I know some people that'll use 12 words that 3 would do. And so the secret. And our Lord Jesus did it. He never, ever wasted a word. Not a word. Never wasted a look. Never wasted a moment in his life while he was on this earth. Not one moment. Our Lord Jesus went about doing his Father's will. And so he always, when he spoke, he had a point to his words, to teach and to instruct. And look what it says here in verse 41. The Jews were murmuring at him. Then the Jews murmured at him, You know, that's all they did in the Old Testament. How many times we're going through the book of Exodus, murmur. And they spake against God and against Moses, murmured all the time. And here they are murmuring at the Lord Jesus Christ, murmuring at Him. They always opposed Him. They always whispered among themselves, always finding fault with Him. But our Lord Jesus Christ did not ever come down to their level. Never. Now you and I, when we get in an argument with somebody, somebody says something about us, we get right down there with them. But the Lord Jesus doesn't do that. He never comes down to their level. Never. And look what He says here now. And they said in verse 42, this is an excuse they used. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Oh my, they opposed Him. But oh, our Lord didn't come down and try to explain Himself to them. Didn't try to do that. And one of the things they used for not believing in Him was because they knew His father and His mother. And he said, well, He's just the son of Joseph. How did He say He come down? How can He say He come down from heaven? We know His father and His mother. They're people like us. People like us. And you know what our Lord answered to them? You know what our Master said? Look what He said in verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You know what He's telling them? Listen, I don't think I'm disappointed or frustrated because you don't believe in me. That's never bothered me the first. That's nothing to me. That you murmur at me, you don't believe in me, I'm not disappointed about it. I'm not frustrated. You've not hurt my feelings. You've not made me feel bad. Do you think your unbelief will frustrate my Father's purpose? Do you think for a minute your unbelief and your rejection of me and your murmuring against me is going to frustrate my Father's purpose or surprise Him? You think that's going to happen? And that's the way people present the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Him and don't accept Him, well, you've hurt His feelings. If you don't let Jesus into your heart, you've offended Him. You make Him feel bad. You'll even make Him cry to hear some preachers tell it. That He bites His fingernails leaning over the banisters of heaven looking down, oh, please let me into your heart. Our Lord said, don't murmur among yourselves. You think I'm disappointed? You think you've hurt my feelings? You think you've made me feel bad? You think you're going to frustrate my Father's purpose? Your rejection of me will make no difference to anyone but yourself. You're not hurting me, you're hurting yourself. Your blood will be on your heads, your damnation will be on your heads, your eternal destiny is on your heads. Just because you reject me, don't think it's going to bother me. It's going to bother you. You're the one that's going to have to end up paying. You're the one that's going to realize too late what it was. And that's what He's telling them here. Don't murmur among yourselves. You're not bothering me at all. And I knew our Lord Jesus Christ said back up there in verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Huh? I knew you'd not believe me. Now back over here in verse 44, He said, murmur not among yourselves. I know you wouldn't going to believe me. And here's what He said. You know why? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. And everyone, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father will come unto me. Oh, my. And I tell you, I plead with you. I do. I plead with everyone here this morning. Sometimes I've wept over you. I try to preach the gospel to you and nourish your souls. I cherish you. But when men and women refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to not have this man to reign over them, there's only one thing you can do. Fall back upon the eternal purpose of God. All that the Father giveth me, all, and all that shall be taught of God, the all is the same all. All that the Father giveth me, they gonna come to me. They're coming to me. How you know they're coming to me? Because it says they're all gonna be taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. And the Father's promised to teach his children. You know, that's what our Lord said there. It's written in the prophets. Now, our Lord Jesus could have spoken by his own authority, because in him the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. He was God manifest in the flesh. And I tell you, he could have used his own authority without quoting scripture. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the true and the faithful witness. And he often referred to the Old Testament. Often referred to what God said in the scriptures. And here he does it again. He used the Old Testament. He used the prophets. He said it is written in the prophets. That gives you the esteem the Lord Jesus Christ had for the Word of God himself. He always read the scriptures, quoted from the scriptures. And you know, he himself said, the law and the prophets speak of me. Speak of me. And what an authority. What a conclusion. It is written. Is that not what we say? It is written. I say, look in God's Word. Let's look together in God's Word. And every man has to have a touchstone. Every man has to have something that he believes in, that he believes infallible. Now, there's a lot of people have different infallibilities that they consider. Some people consider the Pope is infallible. Some people believe the church is infallible. But I find what's infallible and what is a foundation and there's never be shaken, can never be destroyed, is God's blessed Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, and for reproof. And I tell you what, you know what my found infallibility is? It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ and what him what he did and what the Bible said he would do and what he had accomplished. And so that's why he went to the scriptures and said it is written in the prophets. So this is a promise that I tell you the Lord Jesus Christ did, God did, said. Now you want to find out where this is written at? Look over here in Isaiah 54. Look in Isaiah 54. You know, when he said it's written in the prophets, this is the place where he was talking about. Now, Isaiah 54 follows Isaiah 53. And when you look at Isaiah 53, then Isaiah 54, and Isaiah 55, Isaiah 53 deals with our Lord and his substitutionary sacrifice. His death for sinners. His being charged with the sins of his people's, there were iniquities and wounds and transgressions that he bore, numbered with the transgressors. Then look at the first verse of chapter 54. Sing! I tell you, you got something to sing about after you've seen the Christ of Isaiah 53. When you understand what that says, sing! Rejoice! Break forth! You that didn't bear. We didn't bear any fruit. We couldn't give ourselves life. Cry aloud! Oh my. And so that's what he says. And then Isaiah 55 says, listen, you ain't got no money. You ain't got nothing to buy with. So you just come. And I'll give you everything you need. But look down here now in verse 13 of chapter 54. This is where our Lord Jesus is talking about. But let's restart reading back up here in verse 9. Now this is what the Lord's talking about for His people. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I've sworn that I will not be wroth with you nor rebuke you. That's what He's talking about us. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, lay thy foundation with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great be the peace of thy children. Now that's a mouthful. What would you say? That's a mouthful. Now that's what the Lord talk about. And our Lord Jesus Christ, and He said, we have reason. You go home and you read these two chapters, Isaiah 53 and then read Isaiah 54 after Isaiah 53. And you'll see what a blessing we had from what Christ did in Isaiah 53. All the blessings that we have on that account. But this promise, He said, all thy children shall be taught. God said, I'll teach all my children. And this promise is to the Lord's people, His children. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I tell you, when He talks about all His children, you know who He's talking about? He's talking about the elect, the chosen, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all who Christ bought with His own precious blood, the sheep that He laid His life down for, the vessels of mercy, the children of God, the children of the covenant, they will all be taught of God. And that's what, beloved, that's why we don't have to do all the things that religion does, because we know that God's responsible for teaching His children. I may have that article in the bulletin this morning. I get a sermon, I get an outline. But every once in a while a message will come down from God. And I tell you, that's what we want. We don't want just a sermon, we don't want just an outline, we want a message from God. That's what we want. Now let me show you something else in Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31. Here's another one of these blessed things that God taught us. Let's look at this, talking about being taught of the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Oh my. That's why we keep telling people, you know, that when they come, we tell them, come hear the gospel. They want to start trying to do something, you know. And we say, just sit still and listen. Just sit still and listen. Just sit still and listen. Just listen. And oh, listen what He said here in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. How are we going to know that? From the least of them to the greatest, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Now, Paul quoted that in Hebrews. But this covenant that he's talking about, it's an everlasting covenant. It's the new covenant, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. God made it with Christ. And only as we are in Christ are we in that covenant. God made the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he made that covenant with him, we were his body. So he made that covenant with us only as we were in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, all that our Lord Jesus represented, by virtue of our union with him, we partake in all the blessings of that covenant. On our side, we say it's finished. It's finished. But the side yet to be filled, fulfilled by the Father is, he says, I will, and they shall. Yeah. I'll put my fear in their hearts. That's being taught of God. I'll put my fear in their hearts. There's no fear of God in this world anymore. Very few people you find with the fear of God. The Lord's name's just a byword. Huh? He said, I'll put my fear in their hearts. I'll teach them. And you know what he said? I'll teach them so that they'll not need to say to one to another, know the Lord. Why not? For they all shall know me. Who? Those in this covenant's going to know me. They all going to know me. Don't say know the Lord, because they all going to know me. What about that little bitty fellow over there that can't read? They'll know me. What about that fellow that got the best education money can pay for? They'll know me. What about those in between? They shall all know me. Why? Because he said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Huh? I can't tell you now, I know the Lord. For you, some of you say, I know. Well, you need to know the Lord. I do know him. Oh my. What a promise. What a promise. Unconditional promise. Freely made. And it's all about his elect. His elect. Huh? And it's a promise to each and every one of the chosen of God. Back in our text it says, they shall all be taught of God. Now when he says they shall all be taught of God, that means not one child of God shall be left out of God's school. God got school, you know. Yeah, he does. You know, you got to, if you're going to teach somebody, you got to have students. Ain't that right? Amen. Now, some of us learn a little faster than others. Some learn a little slower than others. Everybody don't have the same ability of learning. But that's not my responsibility. It's God's responsibility. They shall all be taught of God. And when God, you know, you hear people say all the time, I believe the Lord's trying to teach me something. If God's going to teach you, you believe me, you're going to learn that lesson. Now, I wasn't a good student when I was in school. I was too mean. I just didn't want to learn. I didn't want to sit still long enough. And if a teacher aggravated me, I just wouldn't come to school. I'd go out to meet school bus. I'd go hide under the bridge. School bus go on by, and I'd go play all day. I just didn't learn. I wasn't a good learner. Wasn't a good student. But when God says I'm going to teach you, when God says I'm going to teach you, you're going to be taught. Huh? They shall be taught of the Lord. They shall be trained of the Lord. And the question to ask is, has God taught me? Has God taught me anything? Have you truly been taught of God? Well, I'm going to tell you what he teaches. Want me to see what he teaches? Look what he says there. Back over here in verse chapter 6. This is what he teaches. He says there in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. verse 45, and says, "It is written, they shall all be taught of God." Now this is what he teaches. Drawing and teaching are the same thing. And then he says, "They shall all be taught of God." And listen to this now. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me." You know what God does? He starts instructing people. He starts teaching people. And you know what he teaches? He teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Everyone that hath heard, heard." You know, God, I've said this, that, you know, if God don't get you by the nape of the neck and bring you, you ain't coming. You ain't coming. But in another sense, he really doesn't do that, because we are rational beings. And I tell you what, he doesn't go contrary to our will. He gives us a new will. He gives us a new mind. And heart and mind are the same thing in the Scriptures. But he deals with us as rational, responsible, free agents. He draws men by teaching them. Teaching them. Now all of us was churchgoers. You know, God saves his people. Most of them. He says, "Come out from among them." Most of us were religious before God taught us anything. Before God ever taught us anything, I thought I knew it all. I could quote chapters of the Bible at a time. People say, "Man, I never seen anybody know the Bible like that." They was impressed with me, but they certainly didn't hear anything about Christ. Maurice Montgomery used this illustration, didn't he, Doc? Doc's out there listening. He told me this. But he said, Maurice Montgomery, years and years ago, when he was a young man, they said, "Oh, they put out everywhere, this is going to be a person at the church. He's going to teach on Revelation." Oh, they packed that place out to hear this fellow on Revelation. And he went through the book of Revelation. And he said, Maurice said, "I tell you, I've seen scorpions, and I've seen dragons, and I've seen demons, and I've seen great big frogs, and I've seen all these things that this fellow talked about. But you know what I didn't see?" He said, "I didn't see Christ. I didn't see Christ. Didn't see Christ." You know why? That man wasn't taught of God. Somebody asked me the other day if I'd preach through the book of Revelation. I'll start that pretty soon. But I'll tell you what, the key's right at the door. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the key's right at the very door. So automatically it tells us that this revelation that we're looking at concerns the Lord Jesus Christ from the first chapter to the last verse. And the last verse says, "Come, Lord Jesus, even so, come." That's the last verse. Starts out with Jesus Christ and ends with Jesus Christ. So what does our Master teach? He teaches his people, all of them. And you know what the first thing he teaches us? Anybody want to know? The first thing that he teaches us, and look over here in John 16 and I'll show you. First thing he teaches us, and I'll tell you what, it's a hard lesson to learn, but we're going to learn it. John 16:7. Oh my. He teaches us some hard lessons. But here's the first one. Our Lord Jesus is going away and he tells his disciples, "Nevertheless," in verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it's expedient, it's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away," and this is capitalized, "the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, that Comforter, that Truth Teller, that one that speaks of Christ, the first thing he's going to do is going to reprove the world of sin. What does that word reprove mean? Convince or convict. That's the first thing he does. He makes you know you're a sinner. I mean, he pulls every rug out from under you. He takes every prop down that you've ever leaned on. He'll tear every... You know, we lean on straws and we think we lean on something strong. We know we think when we was in religion and all our legalism and self-righteousness and our living right and all that kind of stuff. We thought we was leaning on a great strong stuff, but it was a straw. And God kept, you know, when God starts after us, we automatically run to some refuge. We run to, I'm good enough. I ain't hurt nobody. I've been good to everybody. I'm very generous and I'm very kind. And I help people out when they're in need. I believe the Bible. I don't know, I have a clue what it says, but I believe it. And God starts tearing them props. Every time you reach for something in every refuge, He just keeps reaching and getting them, tearing them down. And then there you stand before Him, naked. No covering. You ain't even got a fig leaf left. And there you stand. God teaches you that. And I tell you what, beloved, and I tell you, He draws men back to Christ. And I tell you, they're not pretended sinners. No, no, they don't pretend to be sinners. They're not pretend sinners. They're not dressed up sinners. Not just certain sins that He deals with. But He deals with us with the nature that we've got. With the attitude that we have. With everything about us that's sin. From the depth of our heart to the outside of our skin. In our mind, in our souls, in every way. God makes us to be sinners. And once you become a sinner, you'll never stop being anything else. And you come to God on that ground and that ground alone. Them girls sang this morning, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. In my hands no price I bring. Oh my. I tell you, He brings us poor and He brings us needy. And He makes us stay poor and He makes us stay needy. This is not just a one-time thing. Well, are you a sinner? Oh, yes, yes. We'll go to heaven? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, just repeat after me. There's none of that goes on when God teaches you. You know what you do? You don't even throw up your hands. You just bow down and say, God, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me. Have mercy on me. And you'll say that umpteen thousand, 10,000, thousands of times before you leave this world. The very things. Won't you? Huh? And I tell you what, and then you'll quit being Mr. Good Enough and I'm too good. But I tell you what, here's the next thing He teaches you. He said, of righteousness. Oh my. You know why He teaches you of righteousness? Because you ain't got any. He teaches you of righteousness. Why? Because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. There's where all your righteousness is at. There's where everything's at. And when He makes you to be a sinner, then you start saying, oh, you hear about that righteousness. That I ain't got no righteousness. How in the world can I be accepted of God? There's only one way I can be accepted of God. Christ to bear my sin and God to give me His righteousness. And when He gives you His righteousness, you're as righteous as God is Himself, and you'll never cease being righteous. Huh? Oh, and I tell you, won't you love that righteousness of Christ? Oh, you look at me now. Nice suit on, nice tie, nice shoes, new shoes. Look good on the outside. But oh my, if you could see the dress God put on me, this is rags. Rags. Well, the best things we wear is rags compared to the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to glory, you know what He says? We'll be dressed in white. You know why it is? Called the righteousness of the saints. Everybody's going to be saved just exactly like when we get to glory. He called, oh, they all dressed in white. Who are these? This is the righteousness of the saints. And oh my, then look what He says. and of judgment. Oh, thank God, judgment's been done. The prince of this world is judged. I mean, everything in this world's already been judged. And I tell you, He teaches us not only of sin and of righteousness and judgment already accomplished, judgment already done. He teaches us about our blessed Savior, whom God sent, who God sent into this world. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone would see it, the Son. Huh? And I tell you, beloved, He shows you that there's only one way, and that when Christ was your substitute, I mean, we got to have a substitute. You hear people say all the time, "I can face God for myself." They ain't been taught of God, but that's what we want people to be taught of God. We want people to be taught of God. Henry Mahan, I was listening to a message by him the other day. He was preaching on "Take Away the Stone" out of John 11. And the first thing he said about taking away the stone, "Take away the stone of ignorance." Stone of ignorance. You know how ignorant so many people are? And that's why, I'm not this way myself so much. That's why we really need to be patient with other people. Because the only reason we believe what we believe, and God's brought us to where we are, God made us to differ. We didn't make ourselves to differ. And when you hear somebody make some crazy statement, don't try to correct them so much. Just start telling them about Christ and tell them about what He accomplished, and you know what God's done for you. What God's done for you. And as our Lord is teaching us, He's drawing us. As He teaches you, He starts drawing. That teaching starts opening your eyes. And there's light starts coming in that darkened brain. Light starts coming in that darkened brain. Then more light, more light, more light, more light, more light. One of these days you say, "Well, I see." "Oh, I see. I see what you're saying now. I did it. How could I miss that?" It's easy to miss it if you're not taught of God, but if you're taught of God, He's going to see that you see it. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we can cry, "Believe, believe," but it'll do no good till you tell somebody who they're to believe and why they're to believe Him and what He did. And let me hurry up. I've got to hurry up. Not only is it back over in our text, shall we be taught of God. That's a heavenly teaching. This teaching comes from another world. It comes from the Father. Huh? The Father. That's from God Himself. The best preachers, the best books, without the teaching of God, will avail a man of nothing. Absolutely avail a man of nothing. And I tell you, this is something that we learned. We learn, as God begins to teach us, that we need to unlearn what we've been taught and what we've taught ourselves. We have to unlearn what we learned. That's one of the things that we have to do. God teaches us, and when He does, we have to realize, "Boy, I didn't know. I thought I..." We have to unlearn. We have to unlearn. Oh my. And remember, you all, some of y'all were here, and you remember this. When I came back from up at Ashland one time, and I was so young, and our church was so small, and I said, "You know," I said, "everything we've ever done, we've done because everybody else was doing it. Everybody else was doing it. We did not search the Bible, see how we were supposed to do things." And I said, "You know, we need for God to take us in hand and teach us how to worship, who to worship, why we worship. And God, unteach us from all the foolishness that we believed in. All the foolish, simple, we just, tradition, we just look what everybody else doing, we did it too." And now people think, "Well, you're going, you know, you're all in a cult. You're all in a cult." Well, if I'm in a cult, I'm going to stay right here. Oh, my. And it's a teaching through means. That's what he said. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. You know, when he said it is written, every man that hath heard, faith cometh, comes to where you are. How? Right through the ear gate. By hearing. And that's why Scott Richards, you say the best way to teach anybody anything is repetition. You say, well, that's what you do. You know, it's just repeat the same thing over and over. Your mama used to say to me all the time, said, get up tonight and say exactly the same thing. That's what we want to do. We say the same thing over and over and over and over. You get weary of it? I don't get weary of teaching it. I don't get weary of believing it. I want, when a preacher preaches to me, I want him to say the same thing over and over and over again. I want him to pluck that one string. Don't be content with coming to a service. Don't be content with just coming to a service. Coming to a service won't do you any good if you don't hear about Christ. We've come to learn of Him, hear about Him. And then this blessed teaching, not only is it heavenly, and it's teaching through hearing, and you learn. And this blessed truth is effectual. That's what he said, he that hath learned. When you hear, you learn. You learn. He teaches you, when he teaches you, you learn. You learn. Oh my. If you learn of what sin is, you've learned that you're not going back to law, you don't want no rules, you don't want no regulations, you don't want to be told what you can or cannot do. You learn of sin, you learn that the law is fulfilled in Christ, you learn of Christ, you learn of His glory, you learn of the fullness that dwells in Him. No one has ever been taught of God and remained a fool. Nobody. And this blessed result of this teaching, look what it says, cometh unto me. You know how you know you've learned? Have you come to Christ? Have you come to Christ? Everyone taught of God comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And any teaching that takes you anywhere else is not of God. Huh? Oh, you can get religion, you can learn Calvinism and quote 5 points of Calvinism. You can learn religious jargon, brother, sister, you know, you can learn religious jargon. You can learn how to speak religion. You can learn to be what we call pauperit religion. Just repeat what somebody else has said. But boy, when God teaches you something, you say, God said, the Lord said, the Lord did this, the Lord done that, God did this for me, God had this done, God's the one taught me. And when He teaches you, you're taught. Oh my. And coming to Christ is a simple thing, yet no man does it till he's taught of God. Ain't that right? Oh my. It's like Naaman. They told him, just go down there in Jordan, in the river, duck 7 times, get in that water and go down 7 times. Oh my, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Take off my general's uniform. And there's the rivers over in Damascus. It's much, much nicer than that old filthy Jordan over there. He said, Master, if they told you to do something great big, you'd have done that. But all they told you, just get in the water. And when he did what he was told to do, the water never cleansed him. The water never saved him. The water never washed away his sins. You know what happened? He did what God told him to do. He is taught of God. And he come out of there a clean man. Huh? And that's the way it is with coming to Christ. Only God can change and humble the heart and make a man stoop and get in the dust and be willing to be saved by what someone else did entirely and completely, by what somebody else did. Huh? Oh my. And when you're taught of God, you come to Christ and you trust Him. You know, that's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that whatsoever I committed unto Him against that day, He's able to keep. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to Me. He doesn't come once. Now listen to me. He doesn't come once. That's what a lot of folks think. I remember when I come to Jesus one time 25 years ago, and I remember it was out in this place on a stump and all this kind of stuff, and I heard a woman say one time, she's sitting in front of the courthouse and a great big light come down, and she said, I knew Jesus from that time. She went back to that one time sitting in that car. But we don't just come once. Once we come, we just keep on coming. To whom coming? We just keep on coming. Coming. I'm coming now. You're coming now. Ain't we? We're coming to Christ. Huh? You know, a faith that saves is an all day, every day, 365 days a year, from the once you start believing, you're going to believe forever. Now that's a long time, but that's how long you're going to believe. You're going to believe forever. We believe today. By God's grace, we'll believe tomorrow. And by God's grace, we'll believe forever. Oh my. One of these days, we're going to come to Him in this world the last time. And then we're going to go to Him where He is. Oh my. Taught of God. To be taught of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Our Father, the precious name, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for allowing us to worship here today, to listen to Your gospel again. Oh Lord, take us in hand and teach us. Oh Lord, always be teaching us. We're dull scholars, but oh Lord, take us and teach us. Destroy everything that's so unlike You. Strip away every hope, every vestige of flesh that would resist You in any way. Strip it away. Keep teaching us, bringing us, instructing us in the things of our Lord Jesus Christ and His precious Word and His blessed work, His precious, precious person. Teach us, O Lord, teach us for Christ's sake. Amen. Do you know there's a verse, a song in there called Teach Me, O Lord? Do you know that one?